I'll bring you more than a song. 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 You're looking into my heart. 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 So I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, yes. It's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Let's stand together, if you would, with me. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves, our God saves. There is hope in your name. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves, our God saves. There is hope. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you lifted on your wings, and the world will see that. Yes, the world will see that. Our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope in your name. Morning comes to songs of praise. Our God saves. 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 Our God saves.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a few announcements, but I think Miss Jeannie has one here first.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am representing what they call the older women's class. But here's the deal. We don't know we're old. Anyway, we are going to start a study. It's Priscilla Shire's Jonah, Navigating a Life Interrupted. And anyone that is not plugged into a Sunday school class would like to offer an invitation to you and come join us. We have fun, we watch the videos, and we go through the study guide at our own pace. So, if you're not plugged in and would like to come join us, let me know. We're going to be ordering books. We're going to start on May 19th, so we have 2 weeks. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Wednesday night is our awards night for Awana, and we would love for you to come support our kids. They've worked really hard this year. There are several that are getting awards. And it would mean a lot to them if you would come support them. So, leaders, I do need you to bring cookies and a few drinks. We have some here, but some tea or some Kool-Aid maybe would be great. So, come join us. We will not have dinner. We will start at 6 o'clock, and it will be in the gym. So, thanks so much.
A few more announcements. Tonight we'll be having devotional and prayer time at 6 p.m. here at the church. And then after that, we need some strong people, strong backs to help. We got to move some stuff to do some flooring we have coming up here this week. So if you'd like to help, we'd sure love to have it. Also, May 12th, there will be no home Bible study. That would be for allow y'all to spend time with your mothers, your Mother's Day there. May 14th, executive board meeting at 6:30 at the association office. And then May 18th, block party at Green Forest from 3 to 6 p.m. And then also, at the end of this month, we have youth camp at the Fry's. If you'd like to bring water or anything like that, we could sure use that. All right, will y'all pray with me? God, I pray, thank you for this day. Thank you for all those that are here, and God, I pray for their families that they represent. God, I pray for Wade, and I pray for the message he's going to bring. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. We've got a lively group this morning. This is our first Sunday in the month of May, and as such, we need to recognize birthdays and anniversaries. So if you're celebrating a birthday in the month of May, please make your way forward.
I'm Santa.
Wow, good group. All right, let's sing to these. Happy birthday to you. In the month of May. Anyone going to be celebrating an anniversary in the month of May? Okay, got some? All right, good group. Let's sing to these. You ready? Happy anniversary. Travis, how long have y'all been married? 15 years. Congratulations. All right, Mike, how long have y'all been married?
13 years.
Congratulations. Gene? 52. Miss Gail?
Oh!
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Trust and obey, for there's no
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Farther along we'll know all about. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness
of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As our men are coming forward for the offering, I want to welcome you to Osage Baptist Church. There's a blue card in the pew in front of you if you're visiting. We'd love to know more about you, and if you'd fill that in and put it in the plate as it comes by, it'll give us a chance to do that, and we appreciate you, your time with us. Okay. One of our men, please, a prayer.
You can bow with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We just want to give you the praise and thank you for all the things that you've done for us. And we just pray that we would be allowed to give a part of that back to you, and the church would be able to use that to further your kingdom. And just pray that you'd be with Brother Wade as he brings a message this morning, that you would let us learn from that word and use it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
dismissed at this time for Children's Church. Brother Wade. Good morning.
After all the kids run off, I don't know if we're starting a complex or not, but anyway. No, it is good to be here this morning, and I think I said good morning. Did I hear amen or anything? Okay. I feel like there's more of us than the amount of sound that I hear, but I'll just say it's because you guys are so far off. How's that? So, I do want to clarify something on the bulletin on May 18th. I know that's still going on. I have volunteered us to help out on May 18th with the block party in Green Forest. I haven't heard back to see if they've accepted us or not. There was an email sent out by the association saying they needed some help and they wanted a NABBA church. And once I found out we had a grill somewhere, I said, hey, we'll do it, but I haven't heard anything back, so I don't know if we're the ones doing the hot dogs or not, but they asked for someone to grill the hot dogs, and I thought, well, I'm sure if we can't do it, I could do it, and so I volunteered us, at least me, and I would like company, if you can. If we're accepting, I'll let you know if they say we need to be ones doing it. But they also need anybody that speaks Spanish, to be there. So if you speak Spanish, then there's an opportunity to use it. And if you don't speak Spanish, there's an opportunity maybe to learn it. I did have to look up to see what hot dogs was, just in case, because that's what we'd be grilling. So anyway, so if you don't know, perritos calientes would be your hot dogs, and then now you know enough Spanish that you can help. So anyway, I don't know if you guys have heard, but have you guys heard anything about the new corduroy pillows? They're really making headlines, and I just figured you guys had heard about them. So Tom, we may need you to stay until after my joke so people know when I tell one. Yeah. Yeah, that was waffled? Yeah, yeah. So. All right. We'll jump into it this morning here, and I noticed nobody, I didn't notice anybody that's using the corduroy pillow yet, so some of us it probably show better than others, but anyway. I will throw Tom under the bus on this one. He did not find that joke funny until he understood what corduroy was. So anybody under about 30, maybe we can forgive them for not getting that joke. Is that so? Anyway. All right. Have you ever had anything stolen from you? Have you ever been broke into and someone just took your stuff? You know, if you have, it gives you a different feeling, right? I mean, you feel kind of violated, for lack of better words, if someone breaks into your place it's not a good feeling. And we do things to mitigate that or to stop it, you know, and we may have locks on our doors. We may have alarm systems. We may have cameras. We might put up fences or have, watchdogs. I mean, people do all kinds of things to keep this from happening because it's not something that we want to happen. But, I have had things stolen, and there's multiple times when we was at the store, there was things stolen, and I used to say there's two different types of thieves. There's honest thieves and dishonest thieves, And the honest thieves will come when you're not there and steal your stuff under the cover of darkness. And the dishonest thieves will lie to you and say, hey, I'll do this or pay you back later, right? And, you know, at least the people that are sneaking around, they admit they're thieves. So that's why I dubbed them honest thieves, is because at least they're honest about their thievery, you know. But whenever that happens, and I remember we showed up one morning and I had a guitar there that, you know, I would make noise on. I won't say I played it, but I had a guitar there and it got stolen. And we were fortunate enough that they caught the folks and or the guy, and I got my guitar back. But I still, it's just, I don't know, it just felt like someone had just done something to you. It's an uneasy feeling, you know. And sometimes, like I say, we get things stolen and you never see it again. And then other times we get those goods recovered. And then you've got to, you know, sometimes things are done to those goods. And, you know, we think about the material things that get stolen. And when I said, do you have anything stolen from you, we probably all went to material things, right? But there's other things that get stolen from us as well. Sometimes our hopes get stolen, our dreams, our you know, peace, our joy. Sometimes non-material things get stolen, and that's a lot worse than the material things that get stolen because it's hard to ever regain that back. Sometimes, I'll even throw in here, sometimes our sanity gets stolen from us, right? Things happen to us, and you just don't even feel like you're going to be sane again. I'm going to go ahead and we're going to read 1 Samuel 30, 1 through 6 this morning, if everybody's stand. And it says, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day, and now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag, and they had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old, and they killed none of them, but carried them off as they were on their way, or went on their way. And when David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. And so David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. And David's two wives had been captured, Anaom of Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him, and each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the beautiful weather you've given us and the blessing of the rain. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to bless us as you see fit this morning. Lord, I ask that you be with those that are on the prayer list this week that we've seen, and the comfort, the healing that needs to be done, Lord. I pray that you would to be with each one of those instances. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to your word this morning and just help it comfort us and give us guidance. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You all be seated. You know, they arrived to find all their stuff stolen and their houses burned and their families kidnapped. And, you know, we have things, like I said, we've experienced thefts, right? Whether it's materialistic or if it's, you know, on the other side, maybe I'll say thefts of the mind or the spirit or whatever, non-material thefts. And so they had lost everything. And here the men were so upset, they were talking about stoning David. They looked at the leader, they were blaming David, and they were talking about whether they should stone him and they should kill him. But what we're seeing here is that they've essentially seen the total destruction of their lives. Now, I hope none of us have ever been in that situation where we can say, you know, we've lost every single thing, or our family's been captured, or our material possessions have been burnt, and all I have is that's on my back. Hopefully we've never been there. But what did they have left? they still had hope left. You see, they still had the hope that they were serving God and doing what the Lord had called them to do. And we see there on the last line, it says, but David found strength in the Lord his God. And I redded that out so you could see it, and apparently that didn't work very well. But David found strength in the Lord his God. And when we think our life is even in part shambles, they had total destruction, where do we find our strength? We still have the hope that we serve a just God, a loving God, a forgiving God, a wise God. And they still had that. In the next two verses there, 7 and 8, it says, but David was greatly distressed. Then David said to Abiathar. All right, let's go next. You're right. DJ, go to the next slide. There you go. Thank you. And I started reading too quick. That was my bad. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Abimelech, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. I find this interesting. David's two wives have been captured. His family, you know, that's his family, right? All of his stuff is destroyed. Everybody's family's gone, and they've been kidnapped. And David stops a moment, and he prays for guidance whether or not he should go after it. I don't know about y'all, but I question sometimes when I read the Bible, what would I do in this situation, or why did people do this in that situation? And it just seems to me like there's no question that you would go after your family, especially if you were David. But if you take a moment and you ask the question, is everything that gets stolen from me worth my energy to go after? You know, sometimes we get material possessions stolen, and it's pretty easy to say, you know what, that was worth $100. It's going to cost me hundreds of dollars to maybe take time off to go after it. And it's real easy, right? It's real easy to do the math on that and say that's just not worth following. But what about things that are non-materialistic? Maybe someone's offended you, or maybe someone's stolen your peace. Maybe someone's stolen your joy, or done something to you. Is it worth going after it? Is it worth all of the emotional capital that I'm going to spend to go after something that maybe I'm better off without? You know, I think a lot of times we want justice. Sometimes we want revenge. And sometimes we get the two confused. And we'll spend too much time, we'll spend peace and joy going after something that's not very important in the grand scheme of things. You know, but what is David missing here from a practical point of view? I like to also look at practical things, right? And from a practical point of view, David doesn't know where they went, who they were, how many there was, or if anybody's still alive. He's missing information. So sometimes we have the gut response to go do something, but we're missing some information. So it's wise for us to stop and say, Lord, is this worth my energy to pursue? There, 9 through 12, it says, David and the 600 men with him came to Besor Valley, where some stayed behind. 200 of them were too exhausted to cross the valley, but David and the other 400 continued the pursuit. And they found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David, and they gave him water to drink and food to eat and part of a cake of pressed figs and two cakes of raisins, and he ate and was revived, and for he had not eaten any food or drunk any water for 3 days and three nights. So David stops and helps this guy who was sick. As he's chasing his family that's been captured, he's trying to rescue his family, and they stop and they get this guy that's sick. And, you know, some of y'all may be familiar with the rest of the story, but, you know, as you're in this, it's like, would you stop? I mean, you're on this important mission. God told you to do it. You're wanting to do it. You're wanting to rescue your family, and you're going to stop and spend time reviving this guy that's sick out in the field? You know, do we ever get too busy in the mission that God's called us to do, or in serving God's will that we know He's called us to serve His will in helping others? You know, do we ever get too busy in what we know we're in the good, and we forget the maybe the better, if you will? I struggle with this one. I'll be honest. I struggle with this every time I'm on my way to church and I see somebody broke down alongside the road. Especially if I know that if I'm late, then, you know, what's going to go on? If I'm speaking, right, do I stop and help this person, or do I make it to church? I struggle with that one. Someday maybe I'll be late, because maybe someday I'll stop, but sometimes I don't. And then I wonder if I should have stopped. I may be the only one here that struggles with that, right? You know, it's like, but how often do we pass up an opportunity to serve the Lord while we're thinking, hey, what I'm doing here is so important, I need to keep doing. You know, so I'd say here, we should never be too busy to be a blessing. We should never put ourselves in a spot where we're just too busy to be a blessing to other people. First Samuel 30:13-14 says, David asked him, "Who do you belong to? Where do you come from?" And he said, "I'm an Egyptian, the slave of the Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago, and when we raided the Negev and of the Karahites and some territory belonging to Judah, and the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag." And then he led David down, I'm jumping ahead. I wanted to stop there and make another point here. David, he receives all the information from this guy, and I'm going to skip those verses, but he receives all the information that he was missing when he set out on the mission to rescue his family. He's going to know how many people. He's going to know where they're at. He's going to have all this information from this guy that he stopped to help. Now, this guy may not survive much longer. I don't know that, but I'm just going to speculate, if you'll forgive me my speculation. And I'm thinking, if I was David, I could have easily said, hey, I'm still missing these parts, right? I still don't have this knowledge. I could have stopped and prayed longer, because I could have said, Lord, I'm not sure about all of this, and I need to know. And I could have stayed and prayed instead of going when the Lord said go. And this guy could have died, and David could have missed all this pertinent information. And I'm wondering, how often do I, in the name of I'm going to pray and be sure about it, miss going when I'm supposed to go? Do you think we're ever guilty of that? Do you think we're ever, it's when we know that the Lord's will is to go and we say, well, hold on, Lord, I need all the details, because maybe we don't really want to go? But David gets all of his answers here. And I'll throw another thing here. We should never discard an unimportant person. We should never see someone and think that this person is unimportant. It would have been real easy to say, hey, here's a sick guy out in the field, and keep moving on. But this sick guy out in the field had all the information David needed for his mission to be successful. 16 through 20 says, he led David down, and there they were scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. And David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. And David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. And David brought everything back, and he took all of the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, "This is David's plunder." You know, they were saying, "This is David's plunder." It wasn't very long ago they were thinking about stoning David, right? But David acted on what the Lord told him to do, even without all the information, and he pursued. And now they're saying, "This is David's plunder." Now David is back in the eyes of these guys a hero. But something else that I'll point out here is, how many men did David have with him? There was a mathematical word problem there a while ago that said he had 600, and 200 of them got tired, so 400 is what he took. And he fought them all day and all night, and 400 escaped. So I would say he was a little outnumbered. I mean, assuming that they killed somebody while they fought day and night, right? There was 400 that escaped, and he went not knowing the odds. Even with the odds against him, he attacked because the Lord said, "Pursue." And he killed them all day long. And I have questions here. You know, is that revenge? Is that justice? Is that being a blessing to all the other people around that are going to be raided by these folks eventually? I don't really always have the answer for things, but I know the Lord told him to go do it. Amen? And so he did it. And sometimes that's good enough for me, right? Like, all the time, that should be good enough for me. If the Lord said, "Go do it," go do it. I don't need all the answers. But David's plunder, like I said, they called it David's plunder. But how did David turn around this devastating situation? How did he turn around this as being a leader from going for just about getting killed to being the hero again? First thing that he did, like I said, he asked if it was beneficial to pursue what was taken. You know, we don't always lose those things. Or the things that we lose aren't always worth the energy for us to get them back. We don't always need to spend that time. And God's purpose may have been to remove those things from their lives. Now, their families, I mean, not going to question, and obviously it wasn't. But there's things that gets removed from our lives that, you know, we don't maybe like the way that it got removed. We maybe don't like the fact that it got removed. But was it in God's purpose for that to be removed? Were we better off because God took that out? You know, maybe, like I said, it wasn't the material that they was there not getting it back. But, you know, how are we growing from the situation? You know, it wasn't just important, the materialistic things that they got back, but how do we grow from the situation when we lose something? You know, do we look at the opportunity that we're growing? You know, we have that opportunity sometimes just to forgive someone, to forget it, and grow in that way. And if you've never had to forgive and forget, or if you never have, you don't understand how much that frees you and how much that grows you to be able to forgive somebody who's wronged you. Maybe we learn sometimes just how to suffer. You know, sometimes bad things happen to us, and the Lord's just putting us through some suffering so that we can learn how to suffer. That's not on the brochure, being a Christian, is it? Amen? You know, that's not something that you would tell somebody to entice them to say, hey, you need to serve the Lord because he's going to make you suffer. But that's part of life. That's part of being anybody. We're going to have times of suffering, and being able to go through some suffering, you know, it's hard to be thankful when you're going through suffering. It's hard to be able to say, Lord, I appreciate the fact that you're making my life or allowing my life to be miserable right now. But when you get out the other side of the suffering, you're now able to share with somebody what it is. You're able to share the faith that you went through that to know. And I guarantee you, these men that lost their families have been captured, and I just couldn't imagine your whole family being kidnapped and knowing that they're the hands of these guys that's been for days. And what's going through your mind of what's going on to my family? They suffered. But whenever it was over, what kind of praise would they be able to give to God? Sometimes instead of learning, we just want to fight back and fight for something that no longer is going to exist, even if we could get it. You know, because that thing that happens to us, there's never going back to pre-happenstance. Is that a word? Did I use that in the right context? You can't ever go back to the way it was before it happened. And sometimes we futilely fight for that whenever we should know that we can never really truly go back. We only need to pray about how do we move on. And if we continue to fight for something that we can't go back to, we end up in a worse situation than before. I'd also mention that we have a load capacity, I think. You know, much like that car there, we need to remember that we have a load capacity. We can only carry so much with us. You can only have so many things. You can only have so much grief. You can only have so much. And the rest of it, we need to unload. We need to say, Lord, thank you for taking whatever that is away from me. And if we don't, we'll end up looking broke down, just like that car that's trying to carry too much stuff and too many of other people's problems. Or maybe too many of our own problems. Sometimes we just need to remember to cast it upon the Lord. You know, and I put down here that applies not only to material possessions, but emotional baggage. I don't know if that's a word that you guys use very much, but I think about emotional baggage often. Every time I sit down to counsel a couple to get married, I talk about your emotional baggage and the baggage you bring into marriage and all that stuff that you bring into a relationship that you have to carry together. You know, there's just a lot of that baggage sometimes you need to let go. The second thing that David did is he didn't become self-absorbed in the pursuit and what God was using him for. You know, it's easy for us sometimes to be self-absorbed in what we're doing, and he could have been so self-absorbed into chasing those people to get his family back and his blessing back that he forgot the guy along the way. I think it's important not only that we do get there, but how we get there. You know, when we accomplish the end of the day, we need to be proud of the way we got there, just as important of how that we got there. The third thing that David did that we should be able to learn from here is he didn't waver in the face of the uncertain odds. And when it doesn't seem to make sense to us, whenever it doesn't seem like the odds are stacked in our favor, we shouldn't waver if we know that we're doing what the Lord's called us to do. See, David, he had learned from past experiences that the odds didn't really matter. Not if God was on your side, right? I mean, David has killed bears and lions and Goliath at this point, and he slayed a vast number of armies at this point because he knew the Lord was behind him, and his past experiences led him to be able to know it doesn't matter the odds. It just matters about God's direction. You know, I think too many times we want to lament the things that we've lost and lament what's happened to us, if you will, and we stop listening to God's direction. But David, he recovered these things. He recovered the stolen goods. He recovered the stolen people. But he still wasn't able to change the fact that it happened. You know, we often hear the words in the last few years, well, this is just the new normal, right? And I hate those words. I hate for people to say it's the new normal. That just drives me crazy because the new normal is what I allow it to be. The new normal is what I'm willing to accept. And I don't have to be forced into a new normal. I'm going to accept what the new normal is or what normal is. And it doesn't have to be something new. And afterwards, after this happens, yeah, we can't change the fact that it happened, but it doesn't mean that we have to let it destroy our lives, whatever it is. We can go back to being normal with God. We don't have to make it the focal point of our lives that this bad thing, whatever it is, happened to us. Now, what we focus on, I believe, will determine our usefulness too. How useful I am is what I decide to focus on. If I want to focus on the things that's hurt me, if I want to focus on the things that are negative in my life, then I'm going to be negative. And if I want to focus on the things that are positive and how God's delivered me and how people have supported me through things, then I'm going to be thankful and supportive. You know, but maybe you're here this morning and you're in the middle of that struggle. You know, you're here and you're saying this is great that David recovered all this stuff, but I'm right in the middle of it. You know, you've been wronged in some way, and I think most of us can say that's happened to us or is happening to us or is going to happen to us. You know, maybe we've lost our way, we're confused about our purpose, about what God's calling us to do. And maybe we're the ones that's been taken captive. You know, I talked this whole time about David, but the other side of this story is all these people that were held captive. You know, we can be held captive by sin if we allow Satan to, if we hear the loud voice of Satan telling us that maybe we're useless. Maybe that we can't get out. You know, we've been told or can be told that no one cares about us, that we're not worth rescuing. And I guarantee you, if you know somebody that's struggling in sin this morning, or if it's you, that's the voice that you're hearing from Satan the loudest, is that you're not worth the rescue. And what you've done, it's not worth it. The price would be too much to get you out of it. But I'm telling you that Christ did care for you and does care for you and did pay the price for whatever it is. You know, you can, these folks that got captured in this story, there was nothing they could really do that we can see. They're captured by this large force and they didn't have any way to fight back. And I see that as being a picture of us captured in our sin. There's nothing they could do, but David was pursuing them the same way Christ pursues us whenever we're in our sin. And he comes to rescue us. You know, the Bible doesn't say either that, you know, for God so sent his son. I'm sorry, wow. I'm trying to change this verse in my head and I've got it memorized. But the Bible doesn't say that he sent his son for some, right? He sent his, for God so loved the world, not for God so loved some, right? So that means that regardless of who you are, he sent his son in your place to die for your sins. I'm going to ask the counselors to come this morning, the song leader to come. You know, Christ cared enough to come and die in your place for your sins when you couldn't do it for yourself. So if you're feeling captured this morning, if you're hearing that voice saying that, hey, you can't be rescued, I'm telling you that it's not true and you can be. What number are we singing? What song? 308, if everybody stand with me. I'm going to encourage you this morning. If you're in that state, come up. We'll talk about it. We'll pray about it. We have folks here to talk to you. I'm aware that I ran over a little bit this morning, but we neglected to do this last week, and we planned to come forward and as a family and join the church last week, and then we got done with our prayer and I forgot, and I felt like we'd already been here long enough and that it is already a done deal, but then we remembered we hadn't all joined, and so. Anyway, we talked about it past, and this bunch is coming, hoping that you would accept them in membership and promise of moving the letter from Parthenon. So I guess I'll entertain a motion to. I got a second. Those in favor?
Amen.
And those opposed? All right, well, I appreciate that. So, with that, I'll just ask them to stand back there at the back, and instead of making a line up this way, we can all stand back at the back and clog up your exit this morning. So, all right, with that, David, would you dismiss one prayer?
Yes.